chapter 3. Let's all stand today for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 3. Everybody knows these verses by heart, or you should know them by heart. John chapter 3, and we'll just read one verse, and then we'll pray, and that's the Lord's blessings on the Word of God. Again, we thank you for all you've done for us, and maybe I can spend more time tonight talking about some things that's going on there in the Philippines. Hope you'll be back tonight for tonight's services, and the Lord will bless us in both services. John chapter 3, verse number 16. We all know these verses very well. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's read that one more time. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's go to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the singing we've heard. God, we thank you for the blessing we've had in Sunday school. And Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. And God, today we realize, Lord, we come before you, a holy God. And Lord, we come here to worship you today. And God, we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, for every heart that's in this building here today, and Lord, everyone that's listened to these words, God, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word. God, we realize it shall not come back void, but it shall prosper in the way you'd have it to go today. And Lord, today I pray for the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. I realize I cannot do anything today without you. We need you in a special way. Touch us now, God, over these next few moments. Lead us and guide us for all that you do today. God, we're going to praise you for eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I've just read some of the greatest words that we could ever read out of the Word of God. I realize it's a verse that we know by heart, and many times we take John 3:16 and we just sort of throw it out there at people and say, well, that's just an elementary verse. We learned that in Sunday school. Ladies and gentlemen, to me, it is the greatest words put upon paper that God could ever put in a book called the Word of God. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, how can we ever get away from John 3:16? All around the world, people respect this verse. I mean, you know, I can come to America and you turn on a football game and somehow stick up an old sign, John 3:16. You ride through the old country roads and I can go back into Carolina around some old country road and turn some little offbeat road and maybe might just be an old dirt road. Look up and off an old tree, you'll hang a sign, John 3:16. Everywhere we go, we see the sign stuck up. Walk into a church building, so I'll have it on the wall. Or go to a Sunday school class, there it'll be, John 3:16. And I'm going to tell you something. These are some of the greatest words that God has ever given to mankind. This wonderful verse, John 3:16. Children have learned it. All people know it. Everyone all around the world, they respect this verse. How can we ever explain such a verse? I mean, whole books have been written trying to explain John 3:16, but yet we've not touched the tip of the iceberg of this wonderful verse. I mean, we've tried to preach it time and time and time again. To be honest with you, I've never preached it up until several months ago because I never thought I was worthy to preach such a verse. I mean, it's too wide to cross and too high to climb. It's too deep to take it to this verse, John 3:16. How can we ever exalt it? I mean, we sing it time and time again. We've written songs about it. We've hung off the melodies, but it's still there, John 3:16. And we can't never get the depths of this verse. I mean, what makes it so amazing? If we look back and we say, what subject in this one verse that we would say that makes it so amazing? Today, ladies and gentlemen, today, there's no way that we could expound on this whole verse, not in just these next few moments. But I would like to just take one little part of it and one little section of it today and bring you a message about this one part of it that I like to talk about. What makes it so amazing? Well, I think today what makes it so amazing to me is the love of it. I'm talking about the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, the most amazing of it all is that God Himself loved us, and that God loved us enough to give His Son, and that God loved us enough to let us go to heaven and to be with Him. That's amazing to me. So today, I want to talk about this John 3:16, and let's just talk about the love of John 3:16. I mean, just the part of it being the love of it. Number one, I'd like to show you, number one, the person of this love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." I'm not talking about somebody. I'm not talking about a nation. I'm not talking about a book written about you somewhere. It goes much higher than that. I'm talking about Almighty God, the Most High God, God Himself, all powerful, all knowing, all talking about that loves you. I'm talking about God loves you. And that changes everything. The person of this love is Almighty God Himself. I mean talking about Him above all. Who is all? We're talking about that's who loved us above all. It was the God, not that we loved Him, but He first loved us. And He chose to love us. And He didn't do anything. And we didn't do anything to get His love. It ain't who we are. It's not who He is. It's because He loved us and He chose to love us. That's the person of John 3:16. The Bible says in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God who spoke and there it was. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the God, the names of God we see in the Word of God. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of Peace. That's who loved you. I mean, I'm talking about Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's there. That's who loved you. I'm talking about El Elyon, Most High God. That's who loved you. Almighty God loved you. When you're talking about the person of the love of John 3:16. Almighty God, all-powerful. Oh, how can we ever talk about His love? The Bible says His love is a sovereign love. I'm talking about He says who He loved Him because He first loved us. He chose us. We didn't choose Him. He chose to love us. The Bible says His love is a great love. He says, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. I'm talking about when you talk about a great love. It ain't a love today that I love you today and hate you tomorrow. You know people love me because I love them back. When you quit loving people, they'll quit loving you. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about a great love. He loved us first. I'm talking about an unfailing love. I'm talking about a steadfast love with God. I'm talking about one that never goes and not one that never wanders off to the side because who you are or what you are or what you can. God loved us. Almighty God loved us. That's the person of John 3:16. Sometime when we started out of Bible college, we had a youth camp and had all the young people in on the property. There was a young boy in that youth camp. His name is Bernie. Bernie came into the youth camp. He heard about the love of John 3:16. Bernie, just a young boy, got saved in that youth camp. Started coming to church every Sunday. Just a few months after youth camp, here come the Bible college starting up. Bernie came up to me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I would like to talk to you about this Bible college." I said, "Okay." He said, "Preacher," said, I never graduated from high school. Said, "I quit in high school." Said, "I don't have a proper education." He said, "You see, my mom was a prostitute." He said, "I lived under that all my life. That shadow of my mama. I'd go to school and they'd laugh at me. The boys talked about me. Called my mama names and all this stuff. Talked about what some of the stuff she did. Walked down through the village and people mocked at me. Made fun of me." She said, "Thank God, God loved me. Son of a prostitute, nobody else cared about. He saved me." He said, "Preacher," said, "I don't have the kind of education that you asked for." He said, "But do you mind if I just step in the back of your classes and sit back there and listen about my father?" He said, "Can I just sit back there and listen to you teach about him, the one who loved me?" I said, "Bernie, you come on." I said, "We'll talk about the education part later." Bernie came, and for 4 years, he was one of our best students. I mean, he can remember Bible verses after Bible verses. I'm talking about love to win souls. I mean, God used him in a great way. This past year, he graduated. I turned him before I left here. I pulled him as one of my trusted men. He's a young man, probably in his early 20s. I call him the baby of the family. When I say the baby, they know who it is. I'm talking about Bernie. And so I let him, he's one of my men, and they rotate my pulpit while I'm gone. I've got 4 trusted men that rotate my pulpit while I'm gone. Bernie's one of them. After I got back to the States, Miss Debbie, she wrote me and she said, "You know," said, "yesterday we had a good day," and she talked about Sunday services. She said, "Yesterday was family day." She said, "We had a good time. All of our teachings on the family, all of our choir songs on the family, our Sunday school, our preachings on the family." And she said, "Sunday morning we had a good time. Come back to church on Sunday night, still remaining. It's family Sunday. People bringing their families in, the whole family sitting on the... You know how we do." And she said, "We never thought about it. But it was Bernie's time to preach on Sunday night." Said, "Bernie," said, "looked at him and called on him to come up to the pulpit to preach that night. Ernie looked at the pulpit and he just stopped for a moment. He looked around and David said, we knew something was different. I said, Bernie always, when he gets to the pulpit, he just jumps right in there. This time he looked around. He said, you know, today's family day. He said, I've worked all week on this message. All week I've worked on a message to the family. He said, but I was sitting over there a while ago, getting ready to get up here to preach. And he said, I realize I'm trying to preach to you about something I don't even know nothing about. He said, I ain't never had no family, don't know what it's like. He said, but tonight, he said, I want to tell you this. He said, I found somebody that loved me. I know him that loved me. And he loved somebody like me, a prostitute boy. Somebody that didn't care about nobody. He loved somebody like me. And he loved me so much, he sent his son Jesus. Come on for me. He said, tonight, I'll just put this up to the side. And tonight, I'm going to preach Jesus to you. I'm going to tell you about the one who loved me. And that wife said that wine, the glory of God was all over that young boy. And when he got up and he closed his Bible, three people ran down to the altar. He said, stand. Three people ran down to the altar. Six people glory, she saved. Why? Because he told us about a father who loved. That's the person of John 3:16. That's the one I want you to know about. He's God, Almighty God, who can love somebody like that. Glory to God, and he's God. The person of John 3:16. The Father, the Almighty God. I'm kidding. Well, it don't matter if anybody loves me or not.
That's it, brother. Come on.
It don't matter if anybody loves you or not. What matters is that He loves you. Almighty Jehovah loves you. And that changes everything. Number two, let me give you this. I saw the person, and I want you to see the performance. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Not just America. Not just the Jew. Oh, glory to God, he didn't stop there. He could have stopped right there, you know that? He could have stopped over in Israel and said, that's enough. But the Bible says he performed his love. He so loved the world, that means everybody. That means red, white, black, yellow, it don't matter who you are. There's no excuse. There's no other place to hide. God loved us. I like what over the book of Titus says. Over the book of Titus chapter 3, talks about who he loved. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3, he says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish.
Yep, yep.
You and I, God loves the foolish. He says, we ourselves were sometimes full disobedient. I mean, those who don't listen to nothing. Deceived, serving divers' lust and pleasures. He loves the harlot on the street. He loves the drug addict. He loves those that reject his love. He don't matter about what they say. He still loves them, the Bible says. He says, living in malice and envy. Praise God, envy of everybody. It's just hateful and hating one another. I'm talking about somebody who loves us. He performed his love on us. Even if we hate ourselves, he still loves us. He loves everybody. He said, after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Glory to God, he loves us all. That's the performance of his love. He just didn't stop somewhere and let it off there. He loves us all. No one can escape the love of God. I mean, if you say, well, I'm a Muslim and I have another God, just don't matter. I'm talking about God performed his love to them. It don't matter if you're in another country, another continent. God performed his love to him. The Bible says he so loved the world. And that's a worldwide performance. He loved us all. Amen. No matter if we reject it, he still performs his love. Don't matter who you are, don't matter what you are, he still performs that love each and every day. I told you I went back to the Philippines for 3 weeks in July. I met with my wife and I went down to the property, went down to the church where we have a little study there. All the Bible students, they gathered up around me and told me hello and they was excited to see me back. And we got the Bible college going again, got on the plane, come back. The wall was there. First day I was there. Went into the study there and all those Bible students was there. Looked up against some old Sunday school buildings we got there. And there stood a little boy standing against the wall. 3 years old. Standing there with his head down. Just standing there. I looked at Mr. David and I said, Mr. David, what's going on with this child here? I don't recognize him. I said, who is that? She said, we just got him in a few minutes ago. She said, Sunday's that little boy. He won't talk to nobody. He's just standing there. And I said, well, listen. I said, what happened? They said, that little boy, said, when he was a baby, his mama gave him away. Gave him away. Didn't ever give him a name. We found out later they don't give people names so they don't have to be responsible.
Right.
They can trace the person back to who gave the baby away. So they never gave this little boy a name. Said he was thrown away as a child, as a baby, out into the villages. People passed him around. They called him whatever they wanted to. They named him what they wanted to. Called him what they wanted to. And since finally said, just not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, they come to him and they said, we traced back to your mama. Said, we found your mama. This little boy, he was so happy. Oh boy, now I got a mama. I'm going to have me a real name. I got a mama. Boy, I want to go home. I get to go home. Oh, I've been passed around here and there and from here and there. And now I got a mama. I get to go home to mama. So they took the little boy down to his mama. They left him in her care. They left. As soon as they left, that woman looked at him. I ain't going to call her mama. I call her a woman. She looked at that little boy and she said, I don't want you. I don't love you. You won't live with me. She packed him up on a tricycle, brought him down to our orphanage, signed the papers, dropped him off. And that little boy stood there with his heart broken 1,000 pieces. He'd heard his own mama say that. Just under 4 years old, and there he stood. Nobody in the whole world loved him. Nobody in the whole world cared for him. I walked up that little boy. I said, Miss Davis, I said, I want to talk to this little boy right now. I want that little boy. I said, first thing I'm going to give you a name. I said, your name's going to be James Anthony. I'm going to give you a dignified name. James Anthony is going to be your name from now on. That little boy looked at the ground. He still looked up. He's sitting there crying. I said, James Anthony, I want you to know something right now. I said, God loves you. I said, Jesus loves you. And I love you. And that's enough, James Anthony. That's enough, yeah. Took that little boy over to the home and they introduced him around to the other kids. And my little kids come up, put their arms around him. They know what he's been through. They done been down that road. They said, come on in. And they tried to love him. He just stood there and wouldn't say nothing. And I tell you what, I looked at that little boy and I tried to talk to him. He just stood there. Didn't say a word.
Praise the Lord.
I got on the plane, come back home. Miss Debbie, after I left, every day, Miss Debbie walked in that orphanage. First thing she'd say, she'd bring James Anthony here. She'd bring James Anthony, little James Anthony walked in there with his little head down. And she'd look at James Anthony and she'd say, James Anthony, I want you to know again this morning, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And I love you. That's enough, James Anthony. Next morning, she'd go in there and she'd say, God, James Anthony, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And I love you. That's enough, James Anthony. It went on for week after week. And I finally got in here. Miss Tita called me one night. She said, oh, I've got to tell you this. She walked in at the children's orphanage this morning. And she said, I called for James Anthony. He heard my voice. He come riding down to me. He knocked his arm around my neck. He said, I love you, Mama. I love you, Mama. How is that? That's the love of God. I don't care if you reject it. I don't care if you don't respond. God still loves you. Lord of God. That's the performance of his love. You can reject him. I remember how many years I walked by. He kind of loved me. I turned my head. I wouldn't ever respond. He said, son, Jesus, I didn't respond. But one day I got it, Lord of God. He said, I'm coming in and God loved me. That's the performance of his love. Well, love just keeps on performing. You know, you might be here today, you're lost. You say, well, I don't care. Don't stop a thing. That performance still performs.
Yeah, yeah,
that love's still working right now.
Yeah,
well, you can't go too far. I don't care how you go, where you've been in sin. I'm talking about that love still performs. And it's still going to keep on performing. That's the love of John 3:16. The person, and then the performance. And then let's go down a little bit farther. Why don't you see the proof? You know how we know we've got the proof? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He just didn't give something. He just didn't give a reward. You know, it might have changed things if he said he gave us heaven. He didn't give us heaven. He gave his best. Bible says he gave his. His. Not the world's. Not just somebody's. He gave his only begotten son. That changes everything. Can you imagine? I mean, could you imagine the audacity what man had done to him? What they put him through for God to give him unto us? Can you imagine what Jesus went through? Could you imagine what God saw when he saw Jesus on the cross? Oh, can you imagine him seeing that our sins were put upon him? It was our saliva and spit that ran down his face. It was our stripes on his back. Oh, glory to God. That's a proof of his heart. Whenever you see what he gave his best. He gave Jesus Christ. That's his best. Proof of his love. God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners. That was before you got religious. That's before you started dressing up from the church. That's before you ever quit drinking, ever quit smoking dope. He commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. God died for us. Glory to God, before we ever tried to do good, act good, be good, Christ died for us. That changes everything. Bible says, herein is love, 1 John 4:10. Herein, that's me right here. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Why? Because you loved him. That had nothing to do with it. Praise God, he loved us. And he sent his own son, Jesus Christ. That's the proof of his love. I'm talking about the only proof of his love. Can you imagine? The only son, the son of God, the only begotten son. Have you ever watched a family give up the only child? I've never experienced this by hand until I've been in the Philippines. An only child. It's one thing to have one child or have two or have three, but to lose that only one. They called me to get to the hospital one morning. We went up to the hospital, went up to the pediatric ward. They had sick babies laying all in the hallways. Nasty and dirty. And off to the side, there was a young couple that comes to our church. Both of them been saved. The man had a job. He worked for his family. Tried to make ends meet. Still poor. Still trout belly getting by. Walked up to the bed. And there was their son. Only about a year old. Maybe a little less than a year old. And there he was laid on the bed. He was sick. You know, 50 cents worth of medicine would have saved him. He was dying from diarrhea. 50 cents worth of medicine would have saved his life. But they waited too long. They waited too late. We walked up and that mother was on the foot of that bed, weeping and crying. The daddy was on the head of the bed, weeping and crying. And had a nurse with a mask over that baby's head, over that baby's face. And she had a bulb in her hand. They don't have what we have as far as equipment. And she's trying to pump air in that baby. One more breath. Keep this baby breathing. She's trying to come away. I watched that little baby. That mama, she was falling to pieces, and daddy knew when time was coming. This was her only son. She kept trying to come here. I watched that nurse. She looked at him, she touched his heart. She listened to his breath. She looked at that mother and daddy. And she said, no more. No more. No more. I'll never forget what that lady said. I can hear sometimes I wake up in the night and I can hear her screaming. I can see her screaming. She fell on the floor under the bed of that baby. And she screamed out, no, God, no. Oh, no. In Tagalog, she said, Hindi, the altar call. Hindi. No, my God, no. Hindi, the altar call. No, God, no. That's my son, the only child. No, God, no. That daddy fell down beside that mama. But mama had her face on that floor. Hindi, the altar call. Hindi. No, God, no. I watched them put that baby in a blanket. And that mother carried that little baby wrapped up in a blanket out in front of that hospital. Walking down the hallways. All she could say was, Hindi, the also call. Hindi. Those nurses stood back and they watched her People stood back and watched her. It's their only child. The only child's gone. I took them out in my Jeep. Took them back out to the village. And that mother grabbed that little baby, that little body. And she put him in the house on a little pad, a little mat on the floor, bound to the floor. I was going to get some women from the church to come down and help his family. And as I got in my Jeep, I could hear her down there screaming. I can hear her screaming right now. Hindi, don't go! Hindi! No! God, no! No! God, no! I go by that village, Pastor Lawson, and those people, the women quit washing. The men quit working. They just stood back and dropped their head. Another baby's died. Another one of our children's died. Their only child. You know, I wonder what happened in heaven. The angels stood back with the power. They could have stopped it all. And there was Jesus on the cross. And there is the one to them. And those last hours, the earth began to shake. The Son of God bowed his head. And he said, "It is finished." God himself on the throne. The only Son. The only begotten Son. And the angels turned their head. Oh, God. Oh, no, God, no. It wasn't his sin. It wasn't his fault. It was our sin that put it on Calvary. That's the proof of John 3:16. That's the proof of it. If God's going to say anything, that's the only way he's going to put it to us. That's the only proof we would ever accept it. Was the death of his only begotten Son. Amen. Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
Slain.
Thank you.
For the world.
Amen.
You and I. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave.
Hallelujah.
His only begotten Son. That's the proof. I'm going to give you one more and I'll close. I see the proof and I see the person. But then don't you see the power of it?
Amen.
The Bible says for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever. You know what the whosoever means in Greek? Whosoever. You know what it means in Hebrew? Whosoever. You know what it means in English? Whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You know what that means? Should not perish. That means should not go to the torments of hell. That means that you'll never taste that place. Should not perish. Hey, listen, that's the power of it all. The power says should not perish. But have everlasting life. I mean, I'm talking about should not perish. Whosoever that believeth in him should not perish. But have everlasting life. Escape the pits of torment. Escape the agonies of hell. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what everlasting life means? Everlasting life. No end. No end. There'll be no end. I mean, there'll never be no stopping. Everlasting life. That life will be in Christ Jesus. Ever and forever. Upon eternity. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Let me just tell you this. We had a young girl. A couple of our women was going to the villages, squatter villages. They were knocking on gates telling people about Jesus. A young woman came to her gate. She came to her gate. The women started talking to her. They said, "We want to tell you about Jesus, the Son of God." The young woman was named Roanna. Roanna said, "I did not know anything about the Son of God. I had no idea. I did not know what they were trying to tell me about." So Roanna, 21 years old, let them come into the house. They sit down with Roanna. They begin to tell her about Romans Road. She said to me, "Romans Road was just religious talk. I had no idea what they were trying to say to me. I've never been in church. My mom and dad never went to church. We were not religious. Nobody ever told me about Romans Road. I couldn't understand them." She told me, she said, "I just can't understand what you're saying. You're saying something to me I just don't understand." She said, "I don't understand your language. I don't understand your terminology." She said, "I try to understand, but I just don't understand." So finally they went on and on, and it just came to an end. One of the ladies, they get ready to leave. One of the ladies says, "Stop just a minute. So let me give you my verse." She said, "This is the only thing I can tell you." She said, "Veronica, Here's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. She said, Rona, this is the way I got it. You see that word world? That means you and me. The Americano, it means the Mexican, it means everybody. So it even gets a little bit more personal. She said, you realize that we could put your name right there. The whosoever, the same way again, we could put your name right there. So now let's read it. For God so loved the woman that He gave His only begotten Son, that if the woman should believe in Him, the woman could have everlasting life. The woman said, read that again. For God so loved the woman. Did you stop right there? Read that again. For God so loved the woman that He gave His only begotten Son, that if the woman should believe in Him, the woman could have everlasting life. She said, Pastor, until that time I was 21-year-old woman. She said, I never in my life, nobody had ever told me that they loved me. I'm a whole lot, not my mama, not my daddy, not my brother. Nobody ever said, I love you, Rowana. She said, the very first time I ever heard those four words, she says, when God told me He loved me and gave me to nothing. Rowana got down on her knees. And she fell in love with this God that loved her. And she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. I told you that to tell you this. Well, Anna looks after our hospital ministry. She takes a group of women up to a hospital. Providence Hospital, poor. People lying down the halls everywhere. Well, Anna now, she has shared that testimony every time she tells it. She weeps in the God. Oh, God, so loved her. He gave His only Son for her. So she goes in the hospital with a group of our Bible student women. Probably one of the hardest ministries we have there. Bed after bed. People that's there, the watchers all standing around. She'll talk to them. Family members, she tells them about Jesus. They split up, they go over there, the whole hospital. Takes all afternoon. Rhonda says she walked into a ward. People lined up on both sides and down through the middle, beds. People laid in beds. Some of them didn't have beds. Some of them laid on mats. Some of them laid on fold-out carts. Cots there. Lana said she walked in, she saw a woman laying here at the door on a cot. And she was asleep, so Lana went around to all the beds. She was witnessing Jesus, talking with the family members, talking with the family, talking to the sick, praying, sharing the gospel. And she got back over here to this cot. A woman lay there asleep. She asked the people, said, what is this? Is this woman asleep? They said, I can come back later. They said, no, that woman's not asleep. She's in a coma. Rhonda said, where did she come from? She came from the south of the island. They brought her in a coma. No one's talked to her yet. She lays there every day just like that. Rhonda said she went on home. Got ready that night for bed. Before she always goes to bed at night, she prays. That night she prayed and she thanked God for her victories at the hospital. Thanked God for another day. And she's all of a sudden, that burden for that woman hit her. She said, God, I want to pray for that woman. God, that woman might be from the south of the island. More than likely, that woman's never heard the gospel. They'll have the churches down there like we have up here. She said, God, touch her. Bring her back. God, let me share the gospel with her one time. God, let me share the gospel with that woman. But Lord, do something. Bring her out of it. Lord, she's in a coma. More like she never heard the gospel. She prayed. She went to bed. Next morning she got up, got prepared, went back to pray again. She had never thought about the woman. As soon as she started praying, again the burden hit her. She said, oh God, God, that woman I prayed for last night, God, do something in that woman's life. God, bring her up. God, she's in a coma. Bring her up and bring this to her. God, do something today for her. And so God, she began to pray, and during the day she stopped to pray, and since she got through the work, she went straight to the hospital. Walked straight into the ward. The woman's still in the coma. Still just laying there. Ron left that hospital with a heavy heart. She said, all I could think about was that woman. She said, God, she's on the south island. She said, I've never heard the gospel. She said, I went home that night heavy. I got up that morning heavy. She gathered all the Bible students together and said, help me pray for this woman. Help me pray for this soul. Help me pray that God would do something in her life. Would they help me pray for this woman? Oh, I got a burden for this one woman. And I'm not going to quit this woman. They waited a few days, and all the ladies went back to the hospital sharing the gospel again. They went from hall to hall, place to place. Lana ends it back up the ward. She walks in. The woman's still in a coma. Lana starts praying, and she talks to people all in the ward. She shares the gospel like she's always done. And she comes back to the woman. And she said, "Lord, what's going to happen to this woman? She's never heard the gospel." As Rowana got back to the beside her bed, God spoke to Rowana's heart. And he said, "Share the gospel with her." Rowana said, "But God, she's in a coma. She's in a coma, God. She can't hear me." God said, "Share the gospel with her." Well, I said, "God, they'll think I'm crazy. The woman's asleep. I don't want to bother her. Nobody's going to touch her. She can't hear me. God, I just can't." She got to share the gospel with her. Yeah. Well, I got down on her knees beside that cot. And she began to talk to this woman about Jesus. And got down beside her ear. And again, Rhonda told that wonderful story of John 3:16. And all again, she told her testimony how God saved her because He loved her and He gave His only begotten Son for her. Rhonda got up and she said, "I know people thought I was crazy." And I looked around and everyone in the ward was standing all around her, right behind her. And she looked at them and she said, "I thought maybe they just thought I was Dutch." And say that those people asked me, said, "What did you say to her? What did you say to her?" She said, "I shared the gospel with her." And they looked down, and there's tears running out of this woman's eye. You call that coincidence? You call that God? I call that the power of John 3:16. He follows her. He will save you lost loved ones. He will save the drunkard. He'll save anybody if you just shoot it out there. Power of John 3:16. Rowana stood and she witnessed the gospel, each and every one of those people that was standing behind that woman. We cannot explain, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Let me tell you this. God's done His part. Jesus did His part. It's up to you now. It's up to you. If you're not saved in here tonight, today, it's up to you. He's done His best. He proved His love. Why just somebody loved you that's going to love you for a little while and stop? No, He still loves you. But He loves you today. He wants to save you. He gave His Son, Jesus. It's up to you. Let's all stand, every head bowed.